Okay.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
Just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show for May 31. This week started with something called Memorial Day. It's supposed to be a time of giving thanks for all the soldiers and all the wars that fought to keep our country free. You know, there was a time I thought that the USA actually was free, but we're not. We may never have been as free as we thought, but I'm pretty sure the government control was not so overt back when I was growing up. The president back then, despite having a gorgeous wife and model family, probably got a little on the side from Marilyn Monroe, but can you really blame him for that? On the other hand, he stood up against the CIA and the rest of the military and prison industrial complex, even if he was a product of it. He tried to make a difference, so they shot him. Today they might find a way to impeach him over the Maryland thing or find someone who refuted his story of heroism on PT-109 or something like that. Well, maybe killing him would still be the method of choice. We certainly aren't shy about killing people overseas with our drones and flying them around our own cities, too. Like it'd be a handy way to have an accident, don't you think? Impeachment. That's what Republicans do with Democratic presidents. Impeach them or try to find some reason they shouldn't be eligible in the first place. Right now they're trying to drum up that birth certificate stuff with Obama again. You know, not that Obama's any great prize, but geez, Romney and crew, they want to push us back to the dark ages. Get rid of all the women's rights stuff that we managed to push across in the 60s. It's like, hey, you got to have a black president. Look where that got you. Let's just junk all that civil rights stuff for women, and we'll see if we can get Jim Crow back next year. On the other hand, they don't even bother with following the laws much. Laws and truth are things to be broken and twisted, if not just plain ignored. It's the American way. So for this Memorial Day, remember I started out talking about Memorial Day? This Memorial Day, I didn't mourn any soldiers. I mourned freedom instead. And now, my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome Julius Awafong. He's been on the show a few times. He's from Cameroon. And we'll also welcome a new guest, Christian Knoll from Vermont. Well, it's not possible to understand the world by looking up at the line of TVs on the front wall of the room with all the elliptical machines and stationary bicycles. As Alice says, it would be nice if something would make sense for a change. It is possible, but there are things you will need to pay attention to that may at first seem silly as trying to fit your fat 50-year-old butt down a rabbit hole. But if you do, you will learn about things, and if you learn about things, most people will tell you that you are entirely bonkers. But I'll tell you a secret. All the best people are. These will help. June 15th to 17th, the 9/11 Vancouver hearings will be held in the Denman Theater in Vancouver. They'll talk about, it's organized by Jim Fetzer and Joshua Blakeney, and they'll be talking about 9/11. Also look to World News Daily Information Clearinghouse, Tom Feely, just Google that. They have a lot of good stuff. And also Google Jim Fetzer, The Real Deal Radio Show. And there are some shows on that I think are better than others, but one that I think you would really enjoy would be Jim Fetzer speaking with Richard Dolan. So look for Jim Fetzer, The Real Deal, Richard Dolan. Another thing I'd like to pass along is there's been a new witness in the RFK shooting. The link I have is dailymail.co.uk. The woman is an elderly woman at this point, but she says she saw another shooter of RFK behind, shooting from behind his head. And that coincides with the autopsy news. Relating to that, kids must wonder when we talk about this stuff, why do we talk about all the old stuff? And I can see that, but the truth is this old stuff is all about understanding today. It just is. Especially this stuff, because the perpetrators, many of them, are still alive and still operating. And the whole system is being passed down to make things worse, and things are getting worse, and we are like buffaloes being run off the side of the hill by just a few guys on horses. If we would only stop and turn around and face them before it's too late. Okay, and another one. Go to Black Op Radio, go to the archives, and you go to the one that I'd like to talk about is Black Op Radio, Scott Enyart. And he's a photographer who was in the Ambassador Hotel. He was in the pantry when Robert Kennedy was shot. But the frustrating thing about listening to this is that he had some photos that were taken by the FBI, and they were either destroyed or never given back. And it's just frustrating to hear about that he had what could have been defining proof, and that they were just taken away. It was either by the FBI or the LA police. And also on that same page, scroll down to the bottom of that and look for the RFK special. And this is it's on YouTube, but I think it's a TV show that gives information about the Robert F. Kennedy killing that was never, that is special. That was, you know, stuff like that didn't get out over mainline media at that time. Another item I'd like to mention is Jim Fetzer again on The Real Deal talking with Peter Janney, J-A-N-N-E-Y. It's a new book called Mary's Mosaic. Mary's Mosaic. It's about Mary Pinchot Meyer. She was a mistress of John Kennedy, and it's about her murder. And that's also one part of that story is Ben Bradley, who was the editor of the Washington Post at that time, and we had the Watergate and all that. And we have all that we think about that situation. And the vision we have of Ben Bradley is this hardcore newspaperman going against the government to bring out the truth. But the reality is that Ben Bradley and Bob Woodward were either CIA or cooperating with the CIA. And all that goes up to today. Nothing has changed. It's gotten worse, more entrenched. It just has, and that's what we are dealing with. And the very first part of dealing with it is to be aware, to understand, and that's what we try to do. This is the most difficult part, apparently, because we're still on that first most difficult part of becoming aware of what the truth is. It's hopeful when we learn new things and we meet new people who are also working for the things we value, but then again, it's not. When you read about Fukushima still in the news and our support of Israel, perhaps controlled by Israel, wars, militarization of the country, the almost complete control of our media outside of Black Op Radio, Kevin Barrett, Jim Fetzer. Perhaps what is hopeful is that the fight is on, that there are fighters on our side, that there is an our side to be on in this crazy, boorish United States of America. I would just say let's do the best we can every day and keep on keeping on. And here's another one that comes to mind. Again, it's Jim Fetzer on The Real Deal. And he's speaking with an author, Philip Nelson, and they're talking about LBJ and the JFK killing. And I would just recommend to go there to another part of the puzzle to get the real picture of America, the kind that you won't get by watching the TVs on the wall as you exercise. And again, here is Richard Dolan speaking to Jim Fetzer about UFOs and the United States government and 9/11 and things that actually matter. And what Dolan is talking about is seeing kids at a playground. And he says, would these children know they live in a fascist society? Would their parents know they live in a fascist society? Is it possible to live in a fascist society without realizing it? Of course it's possible. When you talk about fascism, people instinctively talk about Hitler and Mussolini in brown shirts and walking goose-step down the streets. Well, that's fascism in your face. Of course, it doesn't have to be like that. That's not the defining feature. Fascism can be sexy. Fascism can look like American Idol or Monday Night Football. Internet video games or whatever, it can be the things that distract the citizen from what's actually going on. Fascism, in other words, can be a lot more attractive than they realize to people. What we have is visible fascism. Fascism that people can't really see, frankly, because most people don't have the conceptual tools to understand what's happened. Most people have to work. They've got families. They've got things to do. They're not out there to fight the machine. They're not out there to be heroes. They're just out there to live their lives. They don't want to have trouble. They haven't really studied this matter. They may feel it in their bones that there's something wrong. Sure they do, but it's one thing to feel there's something wrong, and it's another to be able to put it all together and to conceptualize it and see how it's wrong. So I see what's happened is that it's a fascism that you can feel, but you can't see it because you don't know how to see it. That's why I call it invisible. That's what we have. In other words, for us to assume that today fascism is going to look like Hitler's fascism, well, that's kind of stupid. We're living in a completely different century, a completely different era. Of course, it's not going to look like Hitler's fascism. It's going to look very different. 9/11 plays a crucial part in allowing that, because what was necessary was to have a legal revolution within the United States, and that, of course, is what 9/11 has allowed. It has also allowed a fascist revolution. What else do we call it? It has gone under the radar as such, and that's Richard Dolan. And to hear the entire interview, with go to Jim Fetzer's Real Deal. Well, folks, they, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and company, want us to be afraid, as they told us in the anthrax letters in 2001. We can do this together, but we cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being?
That it has just been politics all along?
What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals?
What if we flowed our human life through the All-American founding of liberty and happiness for all?
What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
This public service announcement from the Medal of Freedom Nomination Committee. Don't bother to email us, we got this. George H.W. Bush, conspirator to kill John F. Kennedy, murderer of thousands of in Panama, and recent Medal of Freedom honoree. Jean Kirkpatrick, George Tenet, Tony Blair, General Tommy Franks, General Richard Myers, Norman Schwarzkopf, Dick Cheney, Henry Kissinger, Colin Powell, Caspar Weinberger, Donald Rumsfeld, Ronald Reagan, the Medal of Freedom, the Order of the Soviet Red Star, George Orwell. Freedom is slavery, ignorance is knowledge, stupid is one thing, bold-faced lying another. We are the Medal of Freedom Nomination Committee. Just don't think about it. And now, this word from the new Court TV talk show screaming show. There's no statute of limitations on slaughter and murder in a war criminal court with Judge Hang 'em High Lucy Parsons. And on the docket for tomorrow's show, Harry Truman and Enola Gay pilot Paul Tibbetts, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton.
Coming this fall on CBS, Survivor Nebraska. You will survive uncomfortable family holidays, uber-patriotic tractor parades, teachers who teach fake American history, Survivor Nebraska. You will be dropped in the middle of town between the cannon and the church and the elevator and the bank and Arby's and be expected to learn to survive by speaking the native tongue, never using words with more than two syllables. Welcome. Do what we say and you can live your life, live out your days in Nebraska. It's a nice place. We like it here. We've never been anywhere else. Neither will you. If you do not learn how to follow the rules of Survivor Nebraska, you will live to regret it. You can say whatever you like, but if you say something we don't like, you will forever be a stranger among us. The tribe has spoken.
Our first guest, Christian Nall, was an insider in the prison guard industry. That's my real speak for correctional officers. I prefer not to be politically correct whenever possible. Chris tried and failed to serve in the prison system in Vermont, to serve as an officer, that is. His career lasted all of 8 months, but he's written a book about it. Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show, Chris.
Are you in Florida?
Yes, I am. Fort Lauderdale.
How's that treating you?
Oh, I've lived here for years, and I like Fort Lauderdale quite a lot. I've probably been
Fort Lauderdale's great. I've been there before.
Have you?
Yes, I have. In my youth, I drove my 1974 Triumph TR6 from Philadelphia to Boca Raton, Florida. Spent the night on Deerfield Beach, and then the next day drove down to Fort Lauderdale.
That sounds a lot like something I did in my college days, except I didn't have quite as fancy a car.
Well, thank you. It sounds fancy, but it really was like an MG.
Hey, the TR6, it was just a great looking car and nice performing when it ran. But
yeah, had that deep throaty sound inline six.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And the guy I drove down with, he had one too.
Oh
so
really?
We had a blast. Yeah, we drove down together, and we stayed the night at his family's house in Virginia, And then we drove the rest of the way down and spent the night at Deerfield Beach. And the next day we went to Fort Lauderdale. And I've been down even further south. You know, I went down to Key West.
Yeah.
Went to Miami and rented a convertible Mustang and drove from the Miami airport down to Key West on the highway there. It's absolutely gorgeous. You live in a beautiful state, Chuck.
Oh, yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I tell you, all those fast cars, you must collect speeding tickets.
Well, I tell you, you know, it's been a while. The last speeding ticket I got was right after 9/11. So that was going way back. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like you to tell the folks a little bit about your book, the circumstances that led you to write it, and your experience with the Department of Corrections.
Sure. And real quickly, Chuck, thank you for having me on your show. I'm absolutely delighted. A couple of years ago, I was looking for some work, and I was actually looking for a full-time position as opposed to the part-time position I had. And my neighbor mentioned that, hey, you know, you have all this background in criminal justice. Why don't you apply for the Department of Corrections? They're hiring correctional officers, you know, EOs. And, you know, but while I admitted it, you know, I didn't really want to be one for life. I thought, you know, I needed money, and who knows, let's give it the college try. Sure enough, I applied and was accepted, and my experience was such that, you know, within 8 months of working for the Department of Corrections, I was terminated under the pretext of, performance, I guess the letter said. And my experience was such that I actually had to speak to a couple of employment attorneys who in turn asked me if, I documented my experience, and I said yes. And they suggested that, you know, they had asked me if I had ever considered self-publishing it, because that's what they had recommended. And these are well-known employment attorneys. I mean, these people aren't bottom tier. I would consider these people who are highly reputable in the state, and even nationally in some cases for employment law, and know the history of the state of Vermont employment in certain areas. And as it turns out, the Vermont Department of Corrections has this dubious reputation with regards to civil rights, not only with inmates and DOC staff, but with their own staff. And as I dug deeper, I found out that this was more and more the case, and was kind of shocked at what happened to myself. So without trying to exaggerate or fabricate or be sensationalist in any way, I thought about what these attorneys had said and proceeded forth to self-publish it.
Now, you already had some background in what, criminology, I believe?
Criminal justice,
okay.
That's correct.
And that was one of the things that the other corrections officers held against you. That was the impression I got from your book.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if they would hold it against me. It just might have perhaps drawn a little more attention to me than I would have anticipated or had wished. You know, as a rookie or as somebody who's just starting out, you're already under the spotlight a little bit more than everybody else. So, but with staff, yes, I did have the impression that you know, the fact that I had my undergraduate degree, my graduate degree overseas, and actually, yes, I have quite a bit of academia. I even have you know, my postgrad doctorate dissertation in criminal justice. So that, you know, maybe they were expecting some kind of, I don't know. I tried to be the gray man, but that didn't work, so.
Did you feel that you, I don't know, you found some things out, you were kind of a whistleblower, and that aggravated the situation and, you know, ended up with them finding things you did wrong, whether they were there or not. That, you know, was that more or less how you felt it went?
I'm not sure. Chuck, could you reiterate that question one more time?
Did you think that it was because of your whistleblowing that they went after you with a vengeance?
No, I don't. I think that I don't think I did any whistleblowing until I published his book.
Okay, so that was after the fact. That wasn't while it was happening.
Okay.
I know that you ran into a lot of, you know, arbitrary rules and procedures, and a lot of cases where things that were not done the way they were supposed to be done or the way that the report said they were done. Did you feel that you actually saw abuses of prisoners?
Of inmates?
Yeah.
Yeah, I refer to them as inmates. At times, yes. Yeah, and you know, that was one of the lighter chapters. There was a chapter on abuse to inmates. And the chapter might need some work. There is an up-and-coming revision. But there, I did include that in my last revision as an expansion, and I believe there is a chapter titled Abuse to Inmates, but it's rather light. And, but I do explain some of what I thought was potentially abusive in some of the conditions and some of the scenarios. You know, there have been deaths. I mean, there have been inmate deaths under the previous superintendent of Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility in South Burlington, Vermont. And, I'm just learning more and more about those deaths. So.
It seems to me that I read recently of some changes that are going on, and it wasn't really clear if they were trying to clean things up or if they were trying to cover things up.
Yeah. Where were you reading this, if I might add? In my book, or were you reading somewhere else?
No. I started looking for more information, background from your book, and came across some things on the internet. From various newspapers.
Sure. Chuck, the Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility, located at 7 Farrell Street in South Burlington, Vermont, has most recently, within the last 6 to 8 months, within the year, transitioned to an all-women's facility. That is to say that of the, you know, just under 200 max capacity beds they have there, you know, a good 168, 75 of them are for women, and there's a few extra for male overflow from the local jail. You know, people, there's a few men, but it's primarily a women's facility now. And women transitioned from better circumstances, apparently, better conditions. The Chittenden Regional Correctional Facility had some issues, and they filed a petition with some of the organizations that support women inmates, and they filed a report to the Vermont Legislature, and the legislature reported, you know, many conditions which were that they would like to see changed. And that, you know, they didn't want to be downgraded if they were moved.
Mm-hmm.
And, so they submitted that. And that's what you probably read.
Okay. I know there's a national trend towards privatization of prisons. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm traditionally anti-PIC, and PIC is Prison Industrial Complex. And that means... if the privatization includes incarcerating somebody, which would, actually deprive them of other services that they need. Yes, I'm against privatization, not because it's private, but because we can't place profit into removing somebody's liberty when, in fact, they probably need something else. Granted, there are those people that, you know, need to be incarcerated, but in general, I'm anti-PIP. I am against privatization of. There's just too many horror stories. I mean, it's something the state has to take care of. And once you place a profit margin on somebody else's liberty, oh my gosh, they're going to have, you know, these companies promote anti-immigration legislation just so that they will instantly get cash off of incarcerating immigrant detainees. Right. Who, you know, normally wouldn't have to spend that money on detaining them, but because this legislation passed, you know, these companies are going to make millions. So yes, mm-hmm. I'm against.
All right. So the more people they can get in there, the better for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
we're against that.
I understand that the United States has more people, a higher percentage of people in jail than any other country. And I think that's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, by far, Chuck. The United States has more people incarcerated, I believe, than all of the rest of the world combined per capita of its citizens. I think every one in, it used to be 136. I think it's less than that now. It's one in every 100. I mean, it's the lowest I've heard. Especially in cities, people are incarcerated. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's,
yeah. Of course, that doesn't even count the ones that just disappear.
Yeah, sure. In Alaska, they say gone missing.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm really glad to be on your show. And do you have any other questions?
No, I think we'll wrap it up at this point. I appreciate your talking to me, and you know, maybe we'll do it again sometime in a few months. I wish you in your you know, current ventures, and I'd like you to tell the listeners where they can find your book, you know, the name of it, and so forth.
The name of my book is Vermont CO, The Truth of Attrition. And its CO stands for Correctional Officer, and it has the Correctional Officer badge right on the front cover. And they can find it on Amazon if they just type in Vermont, like the state, capital C period, O period. And then the subtitle is The Truth of Attrition. And that's because we have the highest attrition rate in the state of Vermont for correctional officers, like by the hundreds. So that's my documentation of my experience, and you can find it on Amazon.com, and I believe BarnesandNoble.com has it as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and have a good night.
Thank you, Chuck.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a news site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. And now, back to the show with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Funding for tonight's program is provided also by GoBarbaraBush.com, as well as the United States Navy, a global force for good, the United States Army, Be All You Can Be, United States Air Force, peace is our profession. And the United States Marines, the few, the proud, the brave, because we could never sell you the truth.
Tonight's program is proudly sponsored by the folks at Body Bag Underarm Deodorant. You can smell some of the people all the time. You can smell all the people some of the time, but you'll never smell any dead people any of the time with a spray or a dab of Body Bag. I have to be quite naive to accept the false glory bestowed on dead troops who died for nothing for phony wars based on lies. That's where we come in. Not everyone is that stupid. So there's Body Bag. It covers the dead, makes everything lemony fresh instead. As long as the American population remains proud that their relatives serve as cannon fodder for the military-industrial complex, there'll be rows of Body Bags in your household aisle. That's where the money is. So there's Body Bag. It's a vision of Martin Marietta. Thick enough to cover the dead.
Our thanks go out tonight to a new sponsor, Bazooka Up the Wazoo, the new patriotic toy your child will want this coming Christmas. You'd better believe it. Don't be the only one on your block without a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Everyone has a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Even Grandma's got one, and Grandpa, too. All the neighborhood kids will want to do their patriotic duty and find the next Bazooka Up the Wazoo, because every terrorist in tarnation has a Bazooka Up the Wazoo. They're hard to find. Already as hard to find as any Tickle Me Elmo. Look under the front porch, in your next-door neighbor's bedroom window, in all carry-on luggage, in any cell phone or email conversation. Bazooka Up the Wazoo. Don't come home without it.
Our friend Julius Awafong has joined us several times from Cameroon. Some people have been asking me, where is Cameroon? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Cameroon is a country in Africa. It's bordered by Nigeria to the west, Chad to the northeast, Central African Republic to the east, Equatorial Guinea, Gabon, and the Republic of the Congo to the south. Most of those probably had different names when we were growing up, so you may not really have a good idea where it really is. I will tell you, it's got a coast. It's on the Atlantic. Cameroon has been called Africa in miniature because of its geological and cultural diversity. And I, for one, would like to visit it someday. Tonight, Julius has prepared something a little different for us.
Hello, Chuck. Hello, Mike. Thank you for having me once more on the show. This time around, I've brought somebody else on the show. His name is Sky Nelson. Sky Nelson is an artist, a musician. He sings mostly about societal dysfunctioning and tries to fix things in our society of Cameroon. So I've brought him to tell us about his music, about himself, and what he wants people to know and what his music is geared towards. I would like you to ask your questions directly to him so that he will tell to the American public and to the world about himself and what he's out for.
Thank you too, Julius. It's our pleasure having a musician from Cameroon, and a nice change. Sky Nelson, thank you for accepting our invitation. Please tell us about yourself.
My name is Sky Nelson, a Cameroonian artist. I do African music, precise culture, and reggae. And I try to preach about the things that are going on in the society which are not positive for human. Most of my songs deal with it's human right. I sing more of human right.
Why are you called Sky?
My real name's Nelson Jira. And I bear the name Sky because I thought it wise that there are a lot of problems that we cannot solve it. You see, doctors, philosophers, they've tried to do everything possible, but they are unable to solve these problems. So I thought it wise that if we can look up to the sky, our problem can be solved. So I feel like sky is my limit. And you know, Joe, it could also be your limit.
I understand you have a song, Child Trafficking, that you're going to play for us.
This song is dedicated to the street children. By Sky Nelson.
Another version.
Yes. The street children are crying, they need some love from you and I. Do you know, cause I know, we've got a right to save the children. Every day and night, on the street, they need a hug. They need a food, shelter, clothing and medication. Cause I know you can do it, and you know you can do it. Save the children on the street. Oh, just save the children. Have you ever tried to know what is going out there? Have you ever tried to save a child on the street? Have you ever tried to know what is going out there? Have you ever tried to save a child on the street?
Child trafficking,
it is a disguise, slavery you are bringing back.
Child trafficking,
another disguise, slavery you are bringing back.
Child trafficking,
it is a new style, you are training our children.
Child trafficking,
another way, we make our children walk like slaves.
You know, my songs are mostly about human rights, as I said. And I started music in 2002 when I witnessed the genocide in Du. This was my source of inspiration because I was an eyewitness. And coming to child trafficking, it's something that is really going on, and we see it day to day, every day. If you look around, especially now in Cameroon, you go to cities, in urban areas, you will discover that most of the children are being trafficked. Area to the urban area or villages to the city.
What inspired you to be an artist, and what do you want your music to do to help society?
Sure, you know that in African society today, there are many social ills, corruption, child trafficking, drug abuse, immorality, and so on and so on. So I have understood that music speaks to the soul of everybody, and I have decided to sensitize people and my fellow countrymen on these social ills through music. We know that apartheid in South Africa was brought to an end through musicians like Lucky Dube and Miriam Makeba, and many more. Why not Bob Marley, who stopped racial segregation in the United States of America? Today, Sky Nelson has decided to follow this trend to fight against social ills, pledging my society and the world at large.
I wonder why so much pain and grief. Feel my heart is trauma. Think about why my people live in disharmony. Can someone bring back the peace of yesterday, when we used to be each other's keeper, when we used to live in harmony? Today we see hate and confusion between Jeff Watts, Jeff Yah, Jeff Dam. I say
she been Tom de Yom Kani,
Yelamba.
Bonglane, si du basi chua bia.
Chua bia.
In a long bia, oje yungiro.
Yelamba.
Tell us about your song, Fa Mba.
Fa Mba in Limbum, which is my home language, is literally translated in English as to work money. Chooks, you know, human rights call for gender equality in education. African parents have understood this and have decided to work more money in order to educate their girl children, which is a sort of investment, with the hope that in their old age, these children will cater for them. This is not always the case, as most of these girls get unwanted pregnancy, which sort of terminating or put an end to their education, and as such has discouraged most parents in sending their girls to school. So this song, Fa Mba, is how to call on these girls to understand the pain their parents go through, to educate them, and so they should take education more seriously, which is a gateway to develop Africa.
Guy, do you have a sponsor yet?
Not yet. I am struggling on my own, but hoping to have some serious sponsor someday. Thank you.
Well, we wish you luck with that. Is there anything you'd like to add in closing?
Thank you so much for this opportunity to appear on your show. I invite your listeners to know more about me and some of my songs on the YouTube and my Facebook page. Presently, I'm working on a new album, which is about strikes and bad governance in Africa. I am waiting forward for your next invitation. Thank you.
Thank you, Sky, and good night.
What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.
You go to Fitness for the End Times and watch Barack Obama lie to you on the television on the wall above the third elliptical exercise machine from the wall. You get depressed. When you get depressed, you listen to Barry Manilow. When you listen to Barry Manilow, you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978. When you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978, you wake up to try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook. When you try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook, you drive to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and find out the Chicken Shed is now the Chicken Shed Restaurant. Mandy Johnson is the owner, and she's been eating chicken and mashed potatoes 9 times a day since 1979. And you have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scotts Bluff. Don't have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scotts Bluff. Bring your earphones and your little handheld radio thing to Fitness for the End Times, but listen to Jim Fetzer and Kevin Barrett instead.
Well, it's been another long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. A while back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, the local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert is long gone, killed by the police, but Kate is still around, and she sent some transcripts of some of JRK's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the local newspaper, but they didn't want it, so she sent them on to us. The basement tapes of Looking for Bigfoot Radio and Jack Robert King. And we are proud to be the ones to tell the world the story of a nobody who once existed, Jack Robert King, the story of us all. As we learned in the last few weeks, Jack has left the family in Nebraska and taken a bus headed to Oregon to look for Bigfoot, to look for the truth about America. He broadcast his radio show along the way. One of the reasons Jack headed for Oregon was to see if he could find his old high school baseball coach, who was rumored to have taken off years ago to look for Bigfoot, and he never came back. Most people snickered when they talked about the old coach, but Jack always thought well of the guy and wanted to know what had happened to him. He caught up with the old coach in the woods. Jack returned from Oregon to the home in Mount Liberty, Nebraska. He sat with his wife and son and daughter on the porch with a swing. For Jack's part, he thought about all he had learned on his search for Bigfoot at the same time that he tried to recapture the quiet, good life, and wondering to himself about the future, about how the things he had learned about America would affect them all, how they would survive in this new America that had not changed at all by the looks of it, but that had turned topsy-turvy, upside down, inside out. Now that Jack knew the whole story, he tried not to think about what had happened to others who knew the truth about America. He could not imagine that anyone would pay any attention to little Jack Robert King on some tiny internet radio show. No matter what he talked about, he was too little to matter. Jack continued his radio show. He spent the mornings on the air. The afternoons were usually a long walk followed by a long nap. Jerry was still the principal at the high school. In the evenings, the Kings would gather on the porch after supper. Kate spent a lot of time wandering through the corn. Johnny played with his cat and practiced his new blues harmonica. They all did their thing, continued on day by day, with no knowledge of what was in store for them, just down the road, around the bend. The future was heading straight toward them, full blast, like a bullet. The wood creaked as it swayed. The chain screeched in harmony. Jack Robert King sat in the middle of the swing, his arms stretched wide. On his right, Cherry furrowed her brow as Jack kicked off on each round, throwing them off balance.
A maroon Ford Explorer pulled a cloud of dust down the road toward Jack's house. A woman rolled down the passenger window and Jack walked over, his arm already extended to tell him which way it was back to town.
Under Jack's left arm, Johnny clutched Biggie, the pitch-black 6-week-old kitten that Johnny and Jack had picked up at the Mount Liberty Humane Society. Jerry burrowed into Jack and looked up at him with star-filled green eyes. She reached up and plucked his new white cap and pulled it low over her own eyes. Kate balanced on the slat railing with her back to the others.
The woman laid a pistol made long by a silencer on the window ledge and fired, throwing Jack's feet into the air. He landed hard on his back and lay there as if stuck in position, making a snow angel.
Johnny put his face into the cat's fur. Jack meditated in his chair with his bare feet playing with the slats on the porch railing. His four-tone brown afghan splayed across his legs, the newest Oregon magazine open face down on his lap, as if he were letting his penis read for a while. Kate stretched her clenched fists high and began her daily litany, noting the beautiful scenes to the others as if they were blind. "Look at that moon, that barn, that dog. It's perfect." "All put there for us," said Johnny. "None of it's real. It's a movie lot front. They take it down as soon as we're gone. It turns back into Buchenwald Presbyterian camp."
Passenger window rolled up. The driver guided the vehicle slowly over the gravel, like teenagers out road hunting.
The swimming pool drained on its own. Girls tossed softball gloves down the basement steps. Sherry looked at Jack as if to ask, where did his son get that stuff, while Jack watched a bright star sit above the neighbor's place. A few branches in a big tree framed the moon. A lonely car honked from way downtown, searching for someone, some way to keep the summer from ending. Two invisible geese on the creek called to each other like junior high lovers, unable to hang up the phone.
The whop, whop, whop of an invisible helicopter echoed off the corn.
The little breeze rattled the corn. The stars competed for attention. The fireflies played in the field like partying roadies. Bats caught their breakfast. A fox mom pranced out of the den proudly with her two naive pups for their nightly adventure. The whitetail family grazed along with the Holsteins in the rolling meadow just the side of the other road. Kate watched it all, imagined it without seeing anything out there but her own indigo lawn.
The Kings began screaming as Cherry skidded her car to a stop and the doors flung open. Johnny was out the back door and running, lurching toward his father.
What if you were the first person in the world to have a dream, Kate wondered while staring into the dark. What if one night you dreamed about flying and talking birds and snow that came down in red, green, and blue and tasted like sugar? And then the next day you tried to tell everyone and nobody believed you. Until they started to dream, too. And then they put you on their shoulders when you came to school in the morning, and the boys fought each other for their turn to play catch with your glove, and all the girls wanted to stand next to you in line.
The three knelt in the gravel over Jack's body, his eyes now closed. Johnny picked up two stones and threw them, hard, sidearm, at the crows who were gathering on the fence. Tears flowed from his angry eyes.
Kate turned around, pulled her legs over the railing, and faced her parents. She pounced up to stand on the beam with her hands on her hips, staring down at them, pitiful in their cozy bundle, not caring, not willing to take a chance.
Jack's shirt and the ground below him were covered in blood, as were Cherry's shirt and Johnny's knees, hands, and shorts. Cherry wiped her cheek on the new shirt, saw more blood, and screamed again. The helicopter whopped above them, dropped lower, stinging their bodies with gravel, causing the crows to move a bit.
Kate turned her back on them and leaped from the railing, landing in the soft grass and rolled, letting her knees give to absorb the shock as she had seen done on the Discovery Channel. Brushing herself off, she turned again to see if they would stop her. Kate looked at Johnny with Piggy stuck on his head. Jack and Cherry watched her while seated so close they might have to call the damn rescue squad to separate them. The young girl strode four strong giant steps to where she could just see their faces, then looked back over her shoulder. She stopped, faced them, hands on hips, chin strong, eyes focused. "I'm going out there," she announced. "And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO journalists are about average."
And that's it for another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for listening. Thanks also to our sponsors, WorldNewsTrust.com, thespiritualun.org, and June2508.com. We hope you'll visit all those sites and tell them you heard about them here on the New American Dream Radio Show. Stay tuned for Leno Senek and Black Op Radio. He always has a great show for you. And thank you, Mike, and good night.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabas. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
Talk to you in about 20 minutes then, eh?
Okay, sounds good, Len.
Okay.
Talk to you then. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.